You want to feel connected, informed, included, inspired. So when important things happen, we're here. Your local radio and TV broadcasters. America's number one source for news, weather, and information on your radio, TV, computer, tablet, and smartphone. We are broadcasters. Always here for you, wherever here may be. Tell Washington local stations matter by texting radio to 52886. Furnished by NAB and the station, message and data rates may apply.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score, Radio.com Sports Station, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score!
This hour is brought to you by U.S. Water Heating Solutions. They service any type tank, tankless system for homes and businesses.
What's your name, son?
Danny Bernstein. I'm from Deerfield, Illinois.
Dan Bernstein on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That's enough. Don't care. Not interested.
Insightful sports talk for your workday from one of Chicago's most respected radio professionals.
Professional what?
Professional penis.
Dan Bernstein.
Sucking the joy out of sports.
Middays on The Score.
We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Happy May 1st. I don't know what April was or where April was, but here we are. It is May, and it's lovely out. And as of today, you can be back on the golf course as you take some precautions. A lot going on. The Bulls just officially named their general manager. We've got the Bears signing players, so we have a lot to do today. Kevin Fishbane is going to talk Bears with us at 9:40. Teddy Greenstein from the Tribune at 10 o'clock is going to give us the latest on what is actually happening on these golf courses, where there are some private clubs with their own rules. There are the city courses, which I believe still remain closed, and there's all sorts of new ways of doing things. So we're going to get to all of that and get the lay of the land for you. If you are interested in heading out this weekend trying to find a tee time somewhere, good luck to you. He'll join us at 10. We do the midday midway at 10:40. Gary Ellerson, the former NFL player, former Packer, former Wisconsin Badger, host of the Wendy's Big Show on 105.7 The Fan in Milwaukee. He's going to join us at 11 after we heard that Brett Favre stuff yesterday, and there's more news coming out as to how the Jordan Love pick got made, and this looks like a Brian Gutekunst production here in large part, regardless of what Matt LaFleur may want or not. The GM seems to be putting his stamp on the future of the Packers organization, so we'll get to all that drama at 11. I have a fantastic MLB list for you after that. We are going to play Who Am I in that regard, where I'll give you a little bit of a tease, and then the texters go crazy, and then we have fun with the local connections for an all-time MLB team. And Olin Krutz is going to be our special friend at 11:40 today. We'll talk about the latest Bears stuff with him as well. 312-644-6767. That's the phone number at WSCR The Score. You can email us here at Bernstein at 670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live as we stream at 670thescore.com. You download the radio.com app, and you can stream The Score on your mobile devices. Interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. There is Twitter. It is at Bernstein670 for the show. My Twitter handle is at Dan_Bernstein. There's the text zone. You text 67011, and then you are there in the text zone. It's brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. When you text, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. The executive producer today is Shane Reardon, and that is because Jay Zawoski is getting a much-deserved day off. The executioner, Ray Diaz, is on the board doing what he does. So the Bears have a starting safety. It looks like 2014 Pro Bowler Tashawn Gibson is going to be that guy next to Eddie Jackson, regardless of everybody else that they have been collecting. They have a professional plug-and-play box safety who is going to be next to Eddie Jackson. That's how it appears. That's how it's been reported. They also have a veteran speed receiver in Ted Ginn Jr., who he's been around forever. He has been forever. He's fast. his hands are okay. He gives you a little more versatility in the return game if you want to use him there. But maybe that's just your guy to try to take the top off of defense if you need a little bit of speed. Even though he's 30-something years old, he still can run in a straight line. And at least they have to respect that. So it's another veteran presence. And as they add these veterans, you're starting to get the sense of this whole kind of this better win now kind of deal. There's something else to keep in mind, too. Today's Friday, and the Bears, frankly, have been weird about the Mitchell Trubisky fifth-year option decision, which doesn't really seem like it's that big a decision, because why would you when you start weighing the risks and the rewards? And we'll get into that and figure some of that out in just a second. But if you think it's bad news or unflattering news, and the Bears probably do, because they put everything into this pick. And Ryan Pace said, I'm all in. And this was a big swing. And it ends up being a big miss if you have to make this official and public admission that no matter what happens, you think right now that Trubisky's not the guy. So when do you release that news? Late on a Friday, because Monday's the deadline. Maybe the time to do it is late today. I'm not saying I know anything. I'm just speculating. I'm just guessing. The way sports teams have operated with things like this is you wait until going into a week. And I know times are different and our lives have been completely upended and our news cycles have changed. Our life cycles have changed. And maybe it doesn't mean what it used to mean to sort of throw something into the weekend. But might be the time to do it. Just say, oh yeah, by the way, we're not going to be on the hook for what, $24.8 million, that would then just sort of be a sunk cost. And let's look at a couple things here. First of all, Andy Dalton got released yesterday, and this follows the release of Cam Newton. So you can connect any dots you want about where Andy Dalton is going to go. If you think he's going to end up with the Patriots, that's fine. Do you think that Ryan Pace negotiated with himself again? We saw the reporting. We saw what happened with the Trubisky draft and whether or not he gave up a couple of picks he didn't have to give up to move up one slot to select him. We know that story. I'm wondering if they just got so excited about the possibility of Nick Foles that this brain trust with the new guys involved and John DeFilippo and Bill Lazor and everybody saying, yeah, let's Nick Foles. We all agree on this. Okay, let's get him. And maybe jumped the gun and could have waited and maybe wouldn't have had to have given up that fourth round pick. It doesn't matter now. And it kind of does, because you think that maybe this is another case of misreading the market, that if people weren't knocking down the door to get a much more established quarterback, not about much more, but certainly believed to be a steadier starting hand, somebody who's less sort of all or nothing, a little bit more consistently B-minus level, say, in Andy Dalton, that maybe they didn't have to do what they did to go grab Nick Foles. But let's talk about this Trubisky decision and what they're really risking. The only actual risk, the only way Trubisky would actually be guaranteed that fifth year, $24.8 million, is if he were to play this year at some point get hurt and not be able to play next year. The only reason that money would become guaranteed on the hook would be the risk of an injury. Otherwise, the Bears could back out of it. They could pick up the option, and then they could release him before the start of the next league year, which was essentially what they did with Leonard Floyd. And they were able to just not pay it because it wasn't an injury issue that guaranteed it. But what I'm intrigued by is the control that the Bears can exercise over what they claim is going to be an open quarterback competition. Because the last thing you'd want, and maybe not, let's play this out. Say they don't exercise the option and we get some one-liner press release that hits our email box at 6 o'clock tonight. Say the Bears have declined the fifth-year option of Mitchell Trubisky. Great. So there's a couple things that could happen here. One, Trubisky absolutely just blows Nick Foles' doors off in this quarterback competition in front of everybody, and there's no way they can name Nick Foles the starter. Trubisky, all of a sudden, the light goes on. Everything comes together, and he's brilliant, and you get to the end of the year, wherever you end up, and think, boy, we really should exercise that option. You can still negotiate a contract with him. You can. It just means you end up in a probably like a Kyle Fuller-type situation with him. The other issue would be Nick Foles wins, as everybody expects. The most likely scenario is because of how they're laying out what they value and what we know their criteria is in a quarterback competition, it's going to be really hard for Nick Foles to lose it because of what he can do in these low-pressure situations and what he can show them about recognition, reading a defense, ball placement, timing, all of that. We know he's just better at that. So whether they say so or not, whether they know so or not, it's already set up for Nick Foles to win this thing. So he does. Then he gets a high ankle sprain, or then he separates his shoulder, he breaks his collarbone, whatever it is, and then Trubisky has to play, no matter what you tried to set up, no matter what best laid plans of mice and men there were, and then he lights it up. And then you think, oh, geez, we didn't see this coming, we had no idea. So either by decision or by chance, giving that opportunity would be really the only downside. And it doesn't mean you lose him. Would it be $24.8 million? Obviously, a larger guarantee at that point. If then you decide, it would just be the embarrassment of saying, this is the guy. Then starting the year saying, yeah, we admit this isn't the guy. And then having to reverse field again and thinking, well, maybe we were right. Maybe he is the guy. And then having to pay through the nose for it. So it could come down at any point between now and Monday. But if they've been, I don't know why they've been so coy about it, so strange. But they have. Let's go back, if you don't mind. And listen back to the April 3rd teleconference. It's just about a month ago. We have comments from both Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace on the Foles decision. And let's see how that informs this.
I have a history with Nick. I know who he is as a person. He's been great as well. He's a special person. And Ryan and I looked into that, knowing that when this went down. And I think that that's very important that we don't lose sight of that as we go through this competition. He's been in this position before, and he's handled it great. You know, I personally went through it with him in Kansas City. A little different, but I know obviously who he is. This is a kid that has been through a lot of different situations. He's been a Super Bowl MVP. He's been in pressure moments, and he understands a lot of the things that we're looking for. At the same time, I'm excited because I know that he's going to, you know, the person side of him, he really helped. He'll be really helpful and supportive and competing with Mitch.
We knew there were going to be a lot of options at quarterback in this free agency period. We knew we'd have an opportunity to increase competition there with those options that existed. So we kind of went through each one of those and talked about each one. I think when we got to Nick, it was really, you know, a collective effort. I think, you know, the grades kind of independently came in first, and they all came in very strong. Just a talented player. I think Matt just said it, you know, the fact that he's played in some big games, performed well in those big games, that carries a lot of weight. Then you throw that in, you know, we have a lot of people in our building that are comfortable with him as a person and the makeup, which just made the decision easier. So that all kind of came together to make him a target for us and someone we wanted to aggressively go get.
Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace from just about a month ago talking about why they made the move for Nick Foles. 312 texter says, the Bears have a track record of wanting guys from the Saints and Chiefs and Eagles no matter what. I don't think they would have chosen Dalton or Cam. Pace finds his guys. No, I'm not saying that they would have opted instead for one of these released quarterbacks. It's just the possibility of waiting out the market to see if they wouldn't have had to give up the fourth round pick. And Ed from the 708 says, Foles is probably not cut if the Bears don't trade for him. Because remember, the cap hit then would have killed the Jags cap. And that's why the Bears had to rearrange the contract. I think that makes some sense, too. And the 773 says, there's no way to guarantee that Dalton or Newton as free agents would have chosen the Bears. Yeah, I'm just wondering how the quarterback market, because they couldn't find deals for those guys, what that would have done possibly to affect the Bears' decision on what assets they were going to give up for Nick Foles. But that is right. I do want to say that Ed, the 708 texter, is correct, that there was a cap issue that might have allowed him to just languish with the Jaguars behind Gardner Minshew were that not renegotiated and reconfigured. When we come back, you have a question for me, Shane?
I want to hear it. I have a question for you. What is a worse look, though, for the Bears? Picking up the option when you've only seen him be a nothing but serviceable, less than average, and sometimes not even serviceable. What's the worst look? Keeping a bad quarterback or letting him walk and not picking up the option and having him blow up? What's the worst look?
The worst look for them possible. Well, I think the worst look is that they just picked the wrong guy. And they let him go, and he never ends up being good, and the scouting report was to just end up being horrible. I think the cops are coming to pick up Shane because they've finally gotten word.
The hospital. I live like a block from Thorek, so this might be interesting today.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. The other let's look at some of these sort of sliding doors possibilities here. Is it worse if they don't pick up the option? Trubisky signs a prove-it deal somewhere else, gets his shot, and is awesome. And Pace ends up being right that he was the guy. They just never got him unlocked. That whatever happened with coming in the John Fox regime and Dowell Loggins and that whole mess, somebody else resets him to factory defaults and fixes him and teaches him and he's fine and the nonlinear development is in evidence elsewhere, then Ryan Pace can say, you know what? I knew it. I knew he was the guy. We just couldn't make him the guy. Is that a worse look of not being able to capitalize on what you actually did see, that your scouting was correct? But this guy that barely played college football just took a little bit longer than you thought, and 4 years wasn't enough for you to get it done. So the worst possible look is that he's just not good, and you just picked a guy who can't. That's most likely. I think it would be highly unlikely if all of a sudden he just blossomed elsewhere and ended up being a long-time reliable win because of franchise quarterback. I don't necessarily think that's the case. We have some sound from Ian Rappaport of NFL Network. He was recently on Sports Talk Live talking about this Bears decision on the fifth-year option. So I want to hear that and also find out what you think. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. This has got to come down relatively soon as they make this decision on the guy who was supposed to be the guy who's not the guy. It might surprise you what Ian Rappaport had to say. So you'll hear that next. I'm Dan Bernstein. You have the score.
While we're all stuck at home and missing our live sports, the score is here to help with Bears Sundays. We're rerunning 8 historic Bears games, 8 straight Sundays in a row.
We pick things up this Sunday at noon with the Bears versus the Lions, November 13th, 2011 at Soldier Field. Major Wright and Peanut Tillman each return an interception for a touchdown.
He threw another pick. Charles Tillman.
Listen in as Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayer deliver all the action this Sunday at noon, exclusively on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's home for Bears fans. Brought to you by Chevy, ChevyDriveChicago.com.
And by ComEd. ComEd's offering financial assistance. Call 800-334-7661 to learn more.
This is Boomer Esiason with the Radio.com Sports Minute. On this date some 29 years ago, Ricky Henderson, then with the A's, took off from second against the Yankees pitcher Tim Leary and slid headfirst into third, easily beating Matt Noakes' throw. Henderson, in his 13th big league season, registered career stolen base number 939, breaking the record set by fellow Hall of Famer Lou Brock over 19 seasons. The game was paused as Oakland presented Henderson with the purloined bag, a statuette of himself, and a plaque for his mom. An emotional Man of Steel thanked his mother, his teammates, his managers, with special appreciation for the late Billy Martin and God. Then, with typical bluntness, Henderson proclaimed, "Lou Brock certainly was a symbol of great base stealing, but today, I'm the greatest of all time." In addition to his 1,406 career thefts, Henderson also holds the record for runs scored and leadoff homers. I'm Boomer Esiason.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents.
You'll proudly mow the lawn. Ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn. Tell people to stay off the lawn. Compare it to your neighbor's lawn. And complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
The backyard is back. A place to get a breath of fresh air and get together with the family. The Home Depot is here to help you create the backyard you've always wanted. With premium, low-maintenance composite decking and fencing from brands like Trex, Fiberon, TimberTech, and Veranda. And hundreds of other options to bring your backyard back to life this year. Order online and we're on it. The Home Depot. How doers get more done. U.S. only. Restrictions apply.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Doctor's Log, Helldate 2020. Right now, health and medical industries are feeling the pressure of the COVID-19 outbreak. Doctors are feeling that pressure. Nurses are feeling that pressure. I'm definitely feeling that pressure. And so I wanted to capture some of this journey. It's a log of this scary adventure we're all on together. I'm Esther Chu, MD, and this is my doctor's log. Go subscribe on radio.com and wherever you get your podcasts.
Life has changed almost overnight.
Yeah, you have a lot of questions. We are going to try to get you some answers. I'm Mike Simpson.
And I'm Charles Feldman. Together, we host Coronavirus Daily, a podcast designed to help us all get through this crisis together.
We go around the world and talk to some of the top experts out there. So think of this as a guide for you and your family. Multiple ways to listen: radio.com, the radio.com app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher.
Remember, that's Coronavirus Daily.
Did you know there are over 1,000 podcasts on radio.com? Download the app or head to radio.com to listen to all your favorite national and local podcasts, including your favorite morning shows and radio shows on demand. At the top of the app homepage, click the podcast icon to discover new shows, subscribe, and manage your podcast subscriptions. Go to your app store or radio.com/download for all your podcast listening. Radio.com.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
We know staying in is a little easier when you can grill out. That's why Ace will help you get a great grill for your family from the best brands like Big Green Egg, Traeger, and Weber. And with your local Ace right in your neighborhood, we'll assemble and deliver your grill for free. Then, to make it even easier, we'll include free fuel to help you get grilling. The brands you love and the service you trust, only at Ace. Offer valid for Ace Rewards members through May 31st on grills and accessories $3.99 and up. Propane tank not included. See participating stores for scheduling or exclusions.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
McNeil and Parkins. Afternoons 2 to 6 on The Score.
We're talking to Mark Grace here. Can I ask, like, what is your side of the story? Because I was actually at the game in 01 when you're with the Diamondbacks and you came back and you played at Wrigley and there was a huge standing ovation for you. There was never really an issue with Mark Grace and Cubs fans. So I don't really understand what happened between you and the organization.
Let's just put it this way. When we're younger, we all think we're probably better than we actually are or something like that. I just know this, that after 13 years of playing with the Chicago Cubs, I wanted to be a Cub for life. I wanted to be a Cub for life, and unfortunately for me, I'm not the one making that decision.
Listen to McNeil and Parkins on your ride home 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago sports station.
Ryan, have you reached a decision on Mitch's fifth-year option?
Hey, Chris, how you doing? Yeah, as we go through that, that's something we're not going to comment on right now. We'll discuss it when we get closer to that point. We got until May to make that comment, and we'll talk about it as we get closer to that date.
Bears general manager Ryan Pace at the recent draft teleconference just remaining coy. When Chris Emma of The Score asked the question, he wasn't asking, you know, what is the decision? He just said, have you made a decision? And he didn't say whether he had or hadn't made a decision. My guess is that whatever the decision is, it's probably been made for some time, because there's really not much else that can affect it. It's not like they have to gather more information and have more data to help inform the decision. I think we pretty much are looking at this. Do you want the injury risk of having to owe a hurt Mitchell Trubisky $24.8 million, real dollars that could affect business elsewhere? So let's hear the opinion of NFL.com reporter, NFL Network reporter Ian Rappaport. He was on NBC Sports Chicago on Sports Talk Live discussing the fifth-year option, and he thinks the Bears might actually pick it up.
It would make a lot of sense to do it, right? Most teams, when in doubt, do it. And there's far more examples of teams, you know, declining the option, regretting it, than the reverse. You have guys like Sammy Watkins, Bruce Irvin, Fuller's another, that's another good example. Guys who get their option declined and then end up cashing in and getting a much bigger contract because the option was declined. You know, there was there's a couple other examples I can sort of think of, and usually it makes sense to pick it up. The only thing that gives me a small pause on Trubisky is he's actually, not that he's had any major injuries, but he's been injured. Had a shoulder surgery this year, for instance. So, you know, it doesn't, a guy's guaranteed for injury only, but for a guy who's been injured, that's a question. To me, it would make a lot of sense to do it. And then you can always, you know, release him or basically pull it back if you need to. But, you know, we'll see what they do. Are they more cautious and they kind of let it ride? What if he shows the potential that you thought? Then you need to pay him a ton. I mean, then you need to pay him, you know, $100 million. So that's kind of they got a lot of issues going forward with that, and I'm curious to see what they end up doing.
I am a little surprised to hear that, but maybe we have a case of in-town stupid here, that it's just familiarity breeding contempt. It could be. So we took an informal poll at Bernstein670 on Twitter. This is unscientific and informal, but we've had 367 votes come in the last 16 minutes. And Shane put this out there. It just says Monday is the deadline for the Bears to pick up Mitch Trubisky's fifth-year option. Are you rolling with Mitch or kicking him to the curb? And as of right now, it is 71% in favor of not picking up the option. Only 29% are saying one more chance. And the fact is, this phrasing it that way is probably not quite correct, because this is the one more chance this year. And it's whether or not the Bears give him that chance. It is up to them in this regard. The level of control they have over managing this message is what's fascinating to me. The fact that they can make themselves not look as bad, whatever decision they try to make, depending on how they want to mitigate the risk here, unless Nick Foles gets hurt, Trubisky would never get the chance. It's not like it was with Kyle Fuller, where he was your starting corner and he ended up being gangbusters. And like you say, the light went on for him. They ended up having to pay him a lot more when other suitors came knocking at the door. But this one they can manage a little bit. The only thing that's not in their control would be an injury to Nick Foles if that were to happen. You want to feel better about the Bears? I was looking at this yesterday as the news was coming in. My son was sitting on the couch. He was scrolling through his phone. I said, what are you looking at? And he said, I'm going to read you some names, Dad. How does this sound? So I'll ask you the same thing right now. How does this sound? A defensive line of Akeem Hicks, Eddie Goldman, and Bilal Nichols. Those are your 2-5 techniques and your nose. Hicks, Goldman, Nichols. The four guys standing behind them, Khalil Mack, Danny Trevathan, Roquan Smith, and Robert Quinn. On your corners, you have Kyle Fuller and then potentially Jalen Johnson, your ready plug-and-play rookie. And your safeties are now Eddie Jackson and Tashawn Gibson. First blush, because mine is pretty damn good. That's just reading the names, and you assume whatever our statistical ranges are, if you assume an average season of proven production from these guys, and maybe the younger players you adjust it up a little bit, but that's a top five defense. And we keep saying, if in fact the offense is competent, there's been a lot of gloom and doom, and I think for whatever reason we tend to default to, I don't know about the Bears. But, you know, I'm gonna let myself be potentially a little more excited than some. Is Cole Kmet your starting Y tight end? Okay. Is Jimmy Graham your starting U tight end? Maybe get a little bit of production out of him because you're not asking him to do more than he's capable of doing. That sounds pretty damn good to me, especially reading all those defensive names.
Dan, you talk all the time about the Bears being the team that you can be a meatball about still. Let yourself do it. Let yourself go crazy. They have the offensive weapons. They have the top five defense. They have a high ceiling quarterback, but also low, low floor quarterback in Nick Foles that we've seen win a Super Bowl. Let yourself drizzle that marinara and the mozzarella, wet the bread with gravy, get the hot jardinera on there, and be that meatball. You want to do it. Do it. Also, now I want a meatball sandwich.
I was just going to say, if you're telling me it's also on garlic bread, which, by the way, there are who declines any kind of Italian sub sandwich, whatever it may be, who declines the do you want this on garlic bread option? What person says, you know, I'm really in the mood for a meatball sandwich, but that's a bridge too far. I just want it on regular bread. I don't want it on toasted, buttered garlic bread with oregano. No. We can't have that.
Byron's is right around the corner. They open in, I think they open at 10 a.m. I might have to go get a meatball sub at 10 a.m.
And then take yourself a nice nap. I don't know when your workday ends. I don't know, because you seem like there's three of you. Like you're working 24/7 at the
beck and call. It's pretty much 24/7 now. We talk about that so often. Like in the administrative role, in the producer role, I'm going back and forth from, like right now I'm sitting in my living room. My computer's in front of me at the coffee table. When I'm done here, I'll go into my bedroom and sit in front of my desktop computer. You're just always moving back and forth. Like, I like being in the office because I can go and bother people. I can go up to 10. I can go bother whomever. Now I'm just, my dog is just looking at me like I'm a moron. Like, who are you talking to? That kind of thing. And that's all day. I hate it.
Yeah, that's how my kids look at me. Because and my neighbors, the whole thing with the birds, I guess I got to update this at 10:40 in the midday midway. Oh my God. I don't know what to do. When do they develop object permanence?
Oh, well, you know what? I missed that day in elementary school, the object permanence day for sparrows.
Well, you know what object permanence is, right? Like, like for a baby, if you take their teddy bear and you hold the teddy bear in front of them and then you put the teddy bear behind something, it takes a while for the baby to realize, because I can't see it, it still exists, saying that that thing didn't disappear. And at a certain age, and I forgot which age, it's a developmental psychological subject, they say at some point they will reach and know that you're just hiding the bear from them, and that's object permanence. And these sparrows now know, if they rip up the seed mat that I put down, they're pulling it up and away with their talons. Do they have talons? They have feet.
Yeah.
With their toes, whatever they're doing. But they're pulling it, ripping at it to get to the seed. And I'm just wandering around like a crazy person. And everybody, my family thinks I'm crazy. The neighbors think I'm crazy. But we'll get to that. I don't know what to do. And it's human existence is completely miserable at this point. And it's because of the infernal birds.
Do they do it to anybody else on your street? Or is it just your lawn?
Well, the other people are on my side of the street with the northern exposure that have trouble growing grass have had different options, and there's different shade levels, but I think I'm going to have to go with this turf pro stuff. Yeah. So there's somebody next to me. They did. It's the one of the houses, one of my neighbors on the same side of the street. It's the same stuff at like Gallagher Way that's down all that yeah. grass, and they just said screw it and put that down. It's just ungodly expensive, but I may have to do that because I don't even want to have a lawn. Maybe I'll just put gravel down or something. Concrete or
why don't you just plant flowers or something out there, put mulch down, have minimal grass, but then extend and put some mulch down and put some flowers
nothing
and
grows
some tomatoes.
We'll get into it. Nothing.
Yeah. I'm sorry, nowhere
near enough sun for tomatoes, but just nothing grows there. I don't know what to do. It's all I'm doing is spending hundreds of dollars to fatten sparrows. Apparently that's my job. I'm the new sparrow king. The reason why I'm not going to go full meatball is because I did it last year. I did that. I wrote the column and I said it on the air to the Bears. Go win the Super Bowl. I've said it and I did it and I was there. And then it was just, and they couldn't score, and just awful things kept happening, and all those games like pulling teeth, and you know, the whole Eddie Pinheiro fiasco. I don't know. I don't know if I can really crank it up to full meatball on garlic bread levels again. I don't know if I can. Okay. I don't know if I have it in me, okay. Because I did it. Anybody who you know who listens carefully to me knows that comes from the Bears thing is I don't make that up. I really revel in that. I love the fact that I can get 3 hours of really deeply caring about sports and I can be over it if they lose. Okay, fine, it's over, whatever, move on to the next thing. But I get the old sort of fandom sense out of it, of screaming at the television and having my family laugh at me with, what are you doing? Or when I'm saying, tackle someone. There's nothing worse than missed tackles. That's one of these things in sports as a fan. I know, like, your guy, you know, missing free throws is bad, and guy, you know, striking out with 3-2 with runners on base is bad. For some reason, the pain of your team missing tackles is just exquisite. It's just the worst. I don't know why that is, but for me, there are few things that hurt more than seeing a guy, okay, he's got him, and he's like steps away from it. It's like, dude, you got one damn job. Just, you can do anything. You know, you can trip him, you can spit on him, you can do whatever you gotta do. Just get the idiot on the ground. I don't need a turnover every time. I hate missed tackles. We're gonna continue talking football with Kevin Fishbane. We've got new Bears, we've got the Trubisky decision, we got all kinds of things. That sounds like a Ludlum novel, doesn't it? We got all kinds of things going on, but Kevin Fishbane will join us next. Keep it here on The Score.
Hello, fitness friend.
Tuesday night at 7, The Score will replay Terry Bohr's final show before retirement. Recorded live January 5th, 2017 from the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage at The Score Studios.
Just tired of you, dumbass.
Starring a jam-packed lineup of Score hosts from the past and present.
I've closed out the number of these shows with Dan saying that everybody have a great night and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Well, I won't be talking to you tomorrow. I won't be talking to you again.
Don't miss Terry Bohr's final show, re-airing Tuesday night at 7, right here on Sports Radio 670, The Score, Chicago's sports station.
I'm mad at all of you!
You want some free meat? You can get some free meat. Omaha Steaks has free meat for you if you tell them Dan Bernstein sent you when you go to one of their open store locations in Schaumburg, Naperville, Oak Brook, and Orland Park. Purchases of $49 or more get 8 free quarter-pound Omaha Steaks burgers when you tell them I sent you. That's 2 pounds of meat for free, and it's Omaha Steaks, the most tender, most flavorful you've ever had. You can only get steaks of this quality from Omaha Steaks, America's original butcher. There are friendly steak experts there to help you select the perfect steak. Call ahead, and that way you can place your order. It will be ready when you arrive, and you can just pick it up. All purchases backed by an unconditional 100% money-back guarantee. Omaha Steaks, a fifth-generation family-owned company with over 100 years of expertise selling perfectly aged beef, hand-cut by master butchers in the heartland of America. So, if you want this weekend, if you're grilling in this nice weather, this is your opportunity. Get yourself a big package of steaks. $49 or more, any purchase of that amount will get 8 free quarter-pound Omaha Steaks burgers at the locations ready for pickup, Schaumburg, Naperville, Oak Brook, and Orland Park. You have to tell them Dan Bernstein sent you.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
We know staying in is a little easier when you can grill out. That's why Ace will help you get a great grill for your family from the best brands like Big Green Egg, Traeger, and Weber. And with your local Ace right in your neighborhood, we'll assemble and deliver your grill for free. Then, to make it even easier, we'll include free fuel to help you get grilling. The brands you love and the service you trust, only at Ace. Offer valid for Ace Rewards members through May 31st on grills and accessories $3.99 and up. Propane tank not included. See participating stores for scheduling or exclusions.
This segment is brought to you by Amco Transmissions and Total Car Care. Amco Transmissions and Total Car Care is open to help solve your vehicle repair needs with up to 12 months interest-free payments if cash is tight. Call 1-800-GO-AMCO. That's Amco, AAMCO, Transmissions, and a whole lot more.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the... Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mully and Hall. Mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
New Bulls Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations, Arturis Karnišovas, did his first Chicago radio interview with Mully and Hall.
What do you do differently to find players that is so outside the norm? It seems like you've tapped into something and you can find guys that other people miss.
You know, all this time you're gathering information. It depends who you talk to. I have to see players live besides the video evaluation. Background is important. You know, you gather information and you make a decision based on the information that you have. And then, obviously, you know, you got a gut feeling about certain players. It's something that I've done in the past. I always hire people, besides being talented and smart, you know, that's going to complement my skill set.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score
and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
So do the Texans then open it up. That pass is picked off. It's Deshaun Gibson, and he's got some room to run. Deshaun Gibson at midfield. He's got a blocker in front. Watson is able to bring Gibson down.
We're going to have some chuckles in the film room on that one right there.
Hey, it's Chuckles. He's in the film room. Thanks to CBS for that highlight. That is Deshaun Gibson, who I guess by default now is the Bears' safety, who's going to be next to Eddie Jackson. That's the way it seems like this thing is shaping up. Here to talk Bears with us is Kevin Fishbane. He's on Twitter at KFishbane, writes for The Athletic. He's on the Al Pamani Ford hotline, Al Pamani Ford in Melrose Park. So, Kevin, how are you hanging in?
I'm doing all right, Dan. The Bears are in the NFL. Just, you know, it's the train that doesn't stop moving, so keeps us busy. So I guess I'm thankful for them.
So before we get into the decision that looms this weekend, apparently for the Bears, let's talk about these new guys. They have a veteran safety who's been to a Pro Bowl, and they add a longtime veteran, sort of straight liney speed receiver who is fine, I guess. He spent a whole career being fine. What do they have in Ted Ginn Jr. also?
Yeah, you know, with Ginn, I would imagine, you know, we haven't seen the financials yet. I would assume that is a minimum salary situation, that there's not a whole lot guaranteed there. And it's just like, hey, this guy had 400 yards receiving last year. He had 7 20 plus yard catches. He had a pair of 40 plus yard catches, granted in a much, much better offense than what the Bears had. But, you know, clearly he can still run. You know, he played all 16 games, and I wonder if at a bare minimum, Dan, he just can, and I don't know anything about Ted Ginn as a teammate necessarily, so I'm speculating here, but maybe he can just help Darnell Mooney along a little bit, because the Bears probably hope he's kind of the future when it comes to speed. Yeah, I imagine they probably thought about having somebody in that role who's a little younger, but you know, Ryan Pace knows the Saints very well. I'm sure conversations took place for him as he did his due diligence, and it's the number one thing the offense really needed in terms of a skill set. And you know, I don't know if a guy's going to make the team, but if he does and he has, you know, 5 to 10 explosive plays, it's generally better than almost anybody in the team had last year. So it's kind of an improvement still. So I think it's a fine sign. You might as well see what he still has.
I also think it makes sense as we're learning about how they're approaching everything. This looks like a last roundup win now. This looks like they're sort of pushing in and understanding that the time frame is immediate, and that's why some of these the veterans are going to be counted on to be themselves right away and do this while they still have some semblance of a window.
Yeah, Dan, it's so different, obviously, than the beginning of the Pace era when it was all about getting younger, and we would have to search to find anybody on the roster who was above the age of 30. I believe 7 of the players they've signed in free agency are at least 29 years old, and a couple of those guys turned 30 before the season starts. So, yeah, it's totally different. I mean, it all started with the danger of Ethan re-signing, you know, going with him over Nick Kwiatkowski. And then you look at Robert Quinn and Nick Foles and even a Barkevious Mingo and Jimmy Graham, of course, and then now Ted Ginn. I mean, it's just like, you know, Tayshaun Gibson, too, is 29. So it's just, you know, my thing is, like, you know, for 2021, like, Ryan Pace is going to let 2021 Ryan Pace worry about that. And this is all about making this team competitive for 2020. The ownership, the front office, obviously still likes Ryan Pace. They want him to succeed. They want this team to be better. But, you know, he understands the business. They understand how this works. It'd be very challenging for everybody in that building if they, you know, have another disappointing season. So I get why he's kind of throwing everything at the wall for 2020 whenever that season starts or takes place, just to kind of keep everybody there.
I've been speculating that Friday evening today is a pretty good time if you want to just slide in the official announcement that you're not picking up the fifth-year option on Mitchell Trubisky. He's been asked, Ryan Pace has, have you made a decision yet? And he hasn't answered it. He hasn't said, yes, we've made a decision, even though they probably have made a decision, because it's not like there are any outstanding data points that they have to wait to sort of receive here. They know the numbers. They know who he is. They've already made their decision on the quote-unquote quarterback competition. How do you see it playing out as far as their risks, their rewards? Is there any scenario in which they could say, yeah, we'll pick it up and maybe we'll risk an injury to Trubisky that has us owing him $25 million. I mean, it sounds unlikely, but, you know, Ian Rappaport was just on TV here speculating they might still do it. What do you think?
Yeah, I am not as certain, I guess would be the right word, about them declining it necessarily. I assume that's what they're going to do, but I'm leaving the option open, you know, Dan, that because it's been such a long time, this is obviously something that's very sensitive. You know, this is Ryan Pace. This is his kind of general manager career is on Mitch Trubisky in a lot of ways. And I think this is an important personal decision for him to make. And the fifth-year option has been rough for the Bears. You know, they declined Kevin White's, and that was understandable. They declined Kyle Fuller's, and at the time, that made tons of sense. And then he goes out and has a breakout year, and it probably cost him a couple million dollars more, but it wasn't that big of a deal. And I think the math with Mitch Trubisky, as you mentioned, is $24.8 million that you're kind of potentially on the hook for. If you decline the option and he ends up being lights out, a completely different quarterback, reading coverages like they've always wanted him to, wins the job, has a great year, you know, then you look at the franchise tag, it's probably going to be, you know, $5 or $6 million more than that. But even at that point, you would probably just sign him to an extension anyways. I do think, you know, there are some people around the league that believe Kevin White would be like one of the only scenarios in which you do not exercise a fifth-year option. There are a lot of people that believe you do it pretty much no matter what. If your guy is still competent, if he can still play for you, if you still think there's a possibility he's got a future with your franchise, you do it because, you know, the injury thing, it's like you pretty much have to have a serious injury happen in November or December to not be able to pass a physical in March. And, of course, you have to weigh that risk. And again, Dan, I'm not saying that I think they're going to do it. I'm just kind of laying out potentially if they surprise us and did, this could be part of the logic. But, you know, I do wonder if they look at you know, the team, and they say this could be seen as a reward, and we're not sure if we want to make this kind of, you know, send out this kind of message, or do we want to tell him, hey, we still believe in you, and this is how we're doing it.
We were asking this question: what looks worse? What paints Ryan Pace in a worse light? If A, Mitchell Trubisky just isn't good, and this idea that he could be the guy, he could be a long-term win because of franchise quarterback, just wasn't true. And wherever elsewhere he ends up, he has a pedestrian remainder of his career. Or if he does end up going somewhere else and aha, the light goes on, he figures it out, he gets in just the right system, and it was just a matter of it not working here, whether it was his exposure early to John Fox and Dowell Loggins and then having to jump shift into something new and different, whatever the reason. Somebody resets his computer to factory defaults, puts all sorts of new programs on there, and it ends up that Ryan Pace can say, you know what, it was right about that guy. We just couldn't get it done with him. What looks worse?
Yeah, I think probably the first one, because if he does go somewhere and plays well, then Ryan Pace can just blame the coaches. Now, there's the argument there, Dan, that Ryan Pace hires the coach. You know, he hires Matt Nagy with the knowing that Mitch Trubisky is the quarterback. He expects that marriage to work. And for times in 2018, it looked like it did. And then from the first snap of 2019, it no longer did. So, yeah, you know, I think then the Jaguars are an interesting comparison. You never want to be compared to them, but you look at what they've gone through with Blake Bortles, then they bring in Nick Foles. Now they're with Gardner Minshew, but, you know, the GM still has his job there. The head coach still has his job there because, you know, right now Minshew's a quarterback with promise, and that's kind of all you want. And if Mitch Trubisky just, you know, if it is a clear misevaluation that you put all your eggs in this basket and this guy is not the guy, I think that's just always going to look bad on a general manager for just totally missing the way he did. And you can talk about all the other teams that had high grades and missed Trubisky in 2017, but Ryan Pace is the one that made the move to get him. But I do think that there is a coaching element here, that there are, we all watched last season. There were times that you were trying to understand, why is this playbook not marrying up to the way Mitch Trubisky should play? Why isn't he moving more? Why aren't they running the ball more? You know, where's the tight end? Why isn't the offensive line meshing? So many other things went wrong last year that kind of made this a little more challenging, maybe, of an evaluation. Obviously, we can tell what Matt Nagy thinks because this Nick Foles thing seems to have a lot of fingerprints from the coaching staff on it. And for Ryan Pace, you know, he just needs to win. I'm never going to rule out that idea that Mitch can go somewhere. And Dan, one hypothetical I think about sometimes, and we have more time in our lives to think about these, it would have been a big move franchise-wise if they moved on from John Fox after 2016. But they did go 3-13. They were showing no signs of progress. They're going to have a top pick. If the Bears had moved on from him then and had a different coach, and that coach was with Ryan Pace when they made that pick at quarterback in 2017, it's kind of one of these what-ifs that kind of runs through my mind every once in a while, now that we're at this point where you just don't know if it's going to ever work out.
That's funny, because that's going to inform some of our Bulls discussion that's coming up at 10:20, because it's exactly the kind of dynamic I'm thinking about of when you do things and how much it matters to sometimes do things maybe a year ahead of what's comfortable, which is even down to the hiring of Matt Nagy. There were those who told us it was probably early for him to be a head coach. It was going to take him time to figure it out. But the I think we're assuming something. You say Ryan Pace 2020 is different from 2021 Ryan Pace. And you talk about him having to win. Your guy, Hub Arkish, who you know is on these airwaves often, he thinks it's a misconception that Ryan Pace is managing for his Bears professional life right now. He thinks the body of work of Ryan Pace so far is enough that he continues to have the full confidence of his bosses in what he's doing. What do we actually know about what's at stake? We're making all these assumptions about Ryan Pace tying himself to Mitchell Trubisky. If Trubisky fails, he fails. He's not going to let him be the guy that selects the next guy. What's really true? Do we know?
Well, what's true is that, you know, the McCaskey family and Ted Phillips still believes in Ryan Pace. I don't think that they are telling him, you have to win this year. I don't think that's a message that's in House Hall right now. I do think that they're, you know, and if you can judge by the, you could judge the moves either way. You could judge they just want to win, period, or they want to win now. You know, those could be, you know, those could be one and the same. You know, this is just him trying to be a winning general manager, or this could be him trying to win in 2020. I just think that, you know, we can say right now, okay, there is a good relationship between the GM and ownership. He's not on the hot seat right now. But the problem is, if both quarterbacks fail, if this offense just continues to fail, if it continues to not look like the offense we, you know, everyone was promised, if the if injuries ravage the defense again, if they go 6-10, you know, everything's different. You know, right now, I think it's easy for us to understand that Ryan Pace is not on the hot seat as we speak. But I just think the way this league works, it's going to be very difficult if things go really poorly for the Bears, for everyone, for jobs to be safe. So that's why I kind of err on the side of caution with, yeah, of course, I think Ryan Pace is fine. I think, you know, I also think, Dan, this defense is still going to be good enough that they're going to be a competitive team next year. And that in itself could save, you know, could keep Ryan Pace there. So I do agree with Hub in that aspect. I just kind of always keep in mind this idea that things could go terribly wrong again. And then that's going to be really difficult for someone like George McCaskey, who is just, you know, we all know how passionate he is about this team, to watch them lose again. And if there's going to be a gut reaction move just because he's just had enough at that point, I don't know. But for right now, you know, if this team goes 8-8 again, even if that's going to make the fan base, you know, livid, or even just 9-7, I do think that the general manager might be able to keep his job, just because there is still a great level of trust. George McCaskey said to us at New Year's Eve, this guy was the executive of the year in 2018. That is still what they're kind of hoping that they have there in all these moves that are being made for this season.
I did this earlier. And when you do this, it gives you a little bit rosier picture of what might be going on. Because just looking at the Bears' defensive depth chart, their first team right now, if you go front to back of their defense, and these 11, Akeem Hicks, Eddie Goldman, and Bilal Nichols up front. The four behind them, Khalil Mack, Danny Trevathan, Roquan Smith, and Robert Quinn. Kyle Fuller and probably Jalen Johnson right now are your corners. And now you have Eddie Jackson and Tashawn Gibson next to him. That is a damn good defense. I mean, that's just a fact. And starting with that means they're probably going to not be bad if that defense is relatively healthy.
You're absolutely right. And what they've also done is, by bringing in Tashawn Gibson, they have some depth at safety. They have a bunch of guys who could play the number three. They have Roy Robertson Harris on the defensive line. You know, all those corners we talked about before they drafted Jalen Johnson are still there. So they have backups at these positions. I think the one you'd worry about it is inside linebacker, which is a worry considering the injury history. But you're right. I mean, this defense is probably going to be better than it was last year. And last year was a top 10 group. So, you know, I mean, they are going to keep this team in a lot of games. If they up the takeaway number, it's a lot of short fields for the offense. And, Dan, I'm of the belief, too, I know it's been hard. It's been a hard offseason for fans. It's a hard, you know, November and December. I get that. It's hard for me to imagine this offense is going to be worse than it was last year. It was so terrible in every facet that was not Allen Robinson last year. And you improved tight end. You got team speed. You have another option at quarterback of somebody. And I think, too, there is humility that Matt Nagy showed by bringing in all these other guys to his coaching staff and telling us that he is opening himself up for criticism from his colleagues and letting these guys help him create an offense that's going to work. It's hard for me to see this offense being worse. So I think you put all those together, goes back to our last part of the conversation about Ryan Pace. You can see this team still being competitive and finding a way. It just all, so much of this depends on if the quarterback is doing things efficiently.
I think I'm just going to keep reading the defensive depth chart over and over again. Just that first string to feel better about myself. Kevin, appreciate the time, man. Thank you very much. Have a good weekend. Continued good health.
All right. Thank you. You as well, Dan.
Thank you. That is Kevin Fishbane of The Athletic. It's a big day in Illinois because even though the stay-at-home order from Governor Pritzker continues, there have been some relaxations of some regulations, including the opening of golf courses with some very specific regulations. Maybe you are already out today. Maybe you are on the way. Maybe you are getting set to find a tee time this weekend. It looks like we're going to have the weather to hit the links. So Teddy Greenstein of the Tribune is going to give us the latest on what the rules are, of what some of the unintended consequences may be, what's happening, what some of your best bets might be for people looking to get out and breathe a little bit and actually get back to some sort of recreational sports in a way we haven't been able to do for quite a long time. He is going to join us next. I'm Dan Bernstein. You're listening to Sports Radio 670, The Score.
This is 670 The Score, Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station, period. Thanks for keeping us on top, Chicago.